don't know how to go into detail when it comes to how much, you know, guys should be looked down upon in Major League Baseball. I mean, partly you have to look at it. Well, he's good enough to make the MLB, whether he used them or not. You know, some of it has to be true skill, and it's a tough question because you know, you've got your morals and everything else. So I don't know. I mean, if he's on the ballot, I would vote for him.
And that's exactly where I am too. I believe our guest Tom Whaley, executive vice president of the St. Paul Saints, is with us. Tom, how are you?
Hey Bob, how are you?
Not too bad. Hey, big night tonight, eh? Opening opening game at CHS. Is the place filling up already?
Oh yeah. This is a lot of stuff going on, man. There's a lot of people buzzing around, and you know, we're trying to get last minute stuff, trying to wipe down the tables and get the beers out and all that stuff. So it's fun. The whirlwind right now.
Make sure the drains work for the pig.
Exactly.
Now, Tom, I think you've had, it's okay, you've had great, better names. Pablo Picasso, because it's the whole thing of the art of by CHS and that feel. Yeah. I understand the reason, but you must have had some other ones that were pretty close.
We did. But this one was one that, you know, with all the art stuff going on, It made, you know,
and
the neighborhood we're in there, you know, it's one we need to do it. It's good. It'll work.
See, you're not over the top like I am either with it. It's
no,
okay.
No,
it'll work.
Exactly. And, well, I kind of, you know, when we talked earlier this week, I was like, you know, it's okay. And, you know, no, it's fine. He'll be good. He's a handsome pig. I'll say that.
Well, it's not the name that makes it. It's the pig that makes it.
Right.
That makes it work.
Well, And he's good, so we'll get through. But he'll be here tonight.
Now, has he done an exhibition game? What if he gets stage fright?
I don't know if I told you this, but when we talked before, but they're smarter than. Well, no, we had this whole conversation because your wife, you guys have a pot belly.
Yeah, quite a belly. I told you we need to hand him to him in my palm of my hand when I gave him to her. Now you need a crane to move him.
Yeah, so it's. He's got a little growing to do, but yeah, he does pretty much fit in the palm of your hand right now. But he'll be ready. And honestly, they do okay. We have to lead him around a little bit for the first, I'd say, month or so, yeah. and then they're on their own.
I'm not going to belabor with the pig, but I have one more pig question. Will he wear anything tonight? Will he be in uniform?
Yeah, he's got. And I forget what his outfit is tonight, but he's got. He's got his costumes ready to go, and that's part of the gig. You know, he's got. He might have, like, given the CHS connection, he may have something to do with farming.
Okay.
We'll see.
Now, does he ask, like, in his dressing room that the, like, all the brown M&Ms be taken out or the blue
exactly.
M&Ms? Is it like that?
He's got the Veuve Clicquot on ice.
Well, how many, and by the way, we're joined by, of course, as always, David Helmer, our producer, and Jack Jablonski is with us in studio today. I don't know if you and Jack have ever met.
No, I don't think so.
I do not recall.
Well, I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure that at some point Jack will come out to a game. Now, who are the luminaries out of there? I'm sure that Mike is there, right? Is Bill Murray in town, too?
Mike, yeah, we were just giving Bill a tour of the park. He was out when we kind of had the earthwork moving around, and we had some of the concrete stuff in, well, when we did our last game last year in August. But, yeah, he's walking around, and he's real happy. Yeah, I think he really digs the park, so we're doing a tour.
Do you have, because I know you didn't have one there at the, you know, at the old ballpark, is there an owner's box there?
No, not really. We sell them. You know, we're like minor league guys, so if it's not moving, we sell it. We put a sign on it.
And do that, that's pretty good. So but he and Mike and you will just be wandering tonight through the ballpark?
Yeah, Marv Goldklein. All of our folks are in, and we've got three sister teams, minor league teams we work with, and a bunch of those folks are in just to kind of help out, hang up pictures, and we have a good time. It's a little tradition. Every time we, you know, do a park or if there's a big renovation or something, we all show up, so we're having some fun.
This has got to be, you've been with the team basically since the beginning, aside from a brief hiatus. When you went to a major league team, but it's got to be about one of the most exciting opening days or days that you've been involved in, and not just you, but Mike and Bill and everyone to be opening this new park.
No doubt. I mean, for me, I mean, the first one was great because nobody knew what to expect. You know, I mean, the whole thing, the independent baseball and the team and everything was new. Now everybody knows sort of, you know, what the drill is as far as the team goes. But this park is really just, I mean, I don't know, man. It's the strange. There were so many people involved in making it happen. But now that it's up and it's done and all that, it's a really wonderful place.
Man. Well, and we're also, I mean, I hope you stop by. We have a presence there today. We're Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson be broadcasting live from out front in front of CHS Field 4 to 7 tonight. And every Saturday, all your Saturday home games will be broadcasting starting this Saturday on 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, it's great, and we really appreciate that partnership. It's awesome for us to be able to get our games up on a real sports station. It's a real kick.
Well, and that's we're happy to have it too because it's a great affiliation and it's been fun. And also on Saturdays too, live from Lower Town, Sean Aronson, who does your play-by-play and your PR guy, and Ben will be doing a show every on Saturdays too from there. So it's kind of neat. I'm thrilled we have this affiliation.
The other thing is, too, we should encourage folks to come out. I mean, this neighborhood is just kind of on fire, man. I mean, it's a happening place. I mean, we've been walking around, I mean, since we've been moved in the last couple of months, but just in the last month with the weather getting nicer or whatever, it's a gas down here. So
now I have two questions, Tom, before you go, because I know you have a lot more to do. When will you do the national anthem on the drums? That's my first question.
I need those concert Tom things that the marching band used to.
Hey, you know, a week or so ago we had Rush for you.
I know.
And he played it, but then you you were busy, so we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, give me the update on Frankie Valli. Do you have him locked in yet?
I don't, but honestly, I talked to the lady Sierra who runs our promotions, and I said I wrote the date down. It's all, I don't have it here. I gave it to her.
Yeah, it's August.
In August. I gave it to her, and I said we got to try to get. Because he's at one of the casinos,
yep.
Right?
He's at he is. He's at one of the Grand Casino. You're going?
Yeah.
No, but I'll be at the casino.
Oh, Jack has a bit of a gambling issue, Tom. We're trying to do an intervention on him.
Oh man, no, but that's in the works. So I talked to Sierra and I'm like, we gotta get Frankie out here for an anthem at least. So.
That would be terrific. And Tom, have a great night tonight. I know that you will. It's great talking. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Thank you.
Okay, sounds very good. Thank you.
All right, take care. Tom Whaley, the Saints Executive Vice President and quite an accomplished drummer. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, Jack will be with us. Jack Jablonski, Helmsy, Hellboy. And we will do a little, we'll name our D-bags of the day or D-bag of the day. We'll be right back with that. D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop. And we have Brian is calling. He's got a question for Jack Jablonski about hockey. Brian, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, Jack. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Jack, I was just curious to know about the hockey climate down in Southern California. Which is a bigger fan base, the Ducks or the Kings? And what's the amateur situation like down there? I was down there a couple of years ago, and they said it was really growing, but I haven't heard anything much since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I think, unfortunately for hockey in California, especially the Southern California area, there do happen to be quite a lot of bandwagon fans. At the same time, you know, you've got a great core now that, you know, they've won the Stanley Cup three times in the last 7 years between Anaheim and LA. So there really has become a lot more, you know, consistency with a fan base and the players, you know, enjoy playing there. Obviously, you've got, you know, a great climate as well. But in Southern California, the amateur with the AHL, you know, they've got a new division starting next year. All their teams are moving into the you know, middle area or Northern California area. So that has really brought a hype there, and you've got the Gulls down in San Diego or somewhere in that area. So there's a lot more hype for the NHL down there, especially because of the success. And I think that's really been the key for, you know, a following.
Great.
Brian, is that it? You have any other questions?
No, that's about it. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Well, you would know as well. Did you get to any games when you were there?
Yeah, I made it to an LA King game, and I was fortunate enough to see some of the players after and talk to Daryl Sutter as well. And you know, they love playing there. It's playing in the Staples Center is obviously a treat itself. But along with it is they understand that, you know, a lot of the fans don't necessarily understand what's going on all the time. It really reminds me of back in my sophomore year in the section semifinals, we played Armstrong, and Armstrong upset Eden Prairie, which was, you know, never expected. And when we played, we went on to win the state tournament that year, and when we played Armstrong, every time they touched the puck and got across our red line, their whole student section went crazy. And that's really what reminded me of what LA was like. I mean, you've got the McFlurry Minute, as Green said, on LA Kings, that they just get excited. You know, if you score a goal in a certain minute in the game, then everyone gets a free McFlurry or something from McDonald's.
Oh.
And they have a McDonald's in the Staples Center, which is crazy, along with, like, you know, California Pizza Chicken and all that. It's weird because the LA Kings, you know, they understand who they're playing in front of, but at the same time, they use it to their advantage with the energy.
Now, you live much closer to the Kings than you did to Anaheim. Would have taken, what, about an hour even in decent traffic?
Yeah, I live about 2 miles away from the Staples Center. It's right down the same road that we're on Figueroa. And then at the same time, it's about a 40-45 minute drive. So it's unfortunate because the reason I'm at USC is because of the Anaheim Ducks. You know, they mentioned the Swim with Mike scholarship that I'm, you know, now on at SC. I owe a lot to them in helping me get there. But at the same time, you know, you got to take the opportunity. And,
sure, yeah.
You're 2 miles away from the Staples Center. So
absolutely, it makes perfect sense. Now, you mentioned your sophomore year when your team won. Who was the kid that had five goals?
Yeah, Grant Bessie.
Where is he now?
He's now at Wisconsin. He's he'll be a junior or.
Was he a senior that year or a junior?
He was a sophomore or a junior, sorry.
He was a year ahead of you.
Yeah, he's a year ahead of me. So he's the assistant captain of Wisconsin, and he was actually drafted by the Anaheim Ducks as well. So, talking to him maybe in the next 2 years, see him signing a contract in Anaheim, and I guess I'll see him down there. So he's had a great career in Wisconsin, has not been too successful in the last 2 years that he's been there. But this year, they had a lot of freshmen last year. So you've got a lot of upside in Wisconsin. And I would look for him to have a pretty big year. You know, I think the offensive talent.
It was incredible, that game that he had.
It really was. It was crazy because hockey players are very superstitious. And, it was 2-1 at the time. Obviously, he had both goals because we won 5-2 and he had all five. I started eating food, which I hadn't done in the first, the previous games, and they scored to make it 2-1, and I freaked out, and then obviously, Grant comes down with a hat trick, shorthanded, and all of the doubt was silenced there.
So it was okay for you to eat then?
No, yeah, then I could eat after. I was very sick at the time, too. I didn't even go to the
semifinal
game. No, I was sick with infections and stuff. I had like 105 fever.
You weren't out of the hospital for that long either at that point, were you?
I was still in the hospital. I was.
Oh, you were?
I was in Sister Kenny at the time. So I would go from, I actually threw up in the section, or the final, in the state quarterfinal game versus Edina. Right before I went out, publicly, it was not a great weekend for the health. But hockey players will do what it takes, to win.
You know, Jack, it's funny though that you guys became superstitious that if you ate, they would not win.
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy. I mean, I wasn't feeling great at the time either, so I wasn't always hungry, but. Hockey players are probably the most superstitious. I mean, Sidney Crosby, for example, still uses the same jock strap since Pee Wee's. So
it must be a little snug.
It's
either that or maybe
I don't know. Who knows?
We don't know his. We don't know. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Not for us to.
Maybe it's not snug. Might be loose.
Yeah. So
he bought an extra big thing and he grow into it.
Who knows? But that's just an example. You've got a bunch of athletes in general, but I think hockey players really do take the trophy for superstitions.
Same jockstrap. My thing must be just shredded and just.
It really is. It's they showed it on the 24/7 back a few years ago when they played the Capitals in the.
And that was a few years
ago. Winter
Classic,
and
it looked
pretty
rough.
They did like a few minute segment on it, and it was just beat to shreds. Wow. They've had like their guys sew it up.
Is that thing going to be hanging in the Hall of Fame someday?
At this point, I think it would be, but we got to wait till he stops playing.
Hope, does he wash it, or does he not believe in washing it either?
I hope he's washed it. It's like 15 years ago he was playing Pee-wees.
You know, he's coming through the down the hallway to get to the ice, and people know as soon as he leaves the locker room, hey, Sydney's coming out. It's a whiff ahead of him. Now, we wanted a little D-bag of the day. I don't think there's anyone that's going to beat. We have a couple of police blotter entries, but no one's going to beat John Calipari, who said that the goal at Kentucky is to put players into the NBA draft, not to win a national title. Just a stupid thing to say. You know, the goal is, and he probably tells the players that, because what it says about them is they're selfish about being on a team. Well, clearly they don't. A lot of them come and they're one and done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can just figure if there's a team that's putting together NBA talent, maybe they'll just figure we're going to win a championship anyway.
Well, that's probably the way he's looking at it, but he's still our D-bag of the day. Yeah. I never have a problem giving to Calipari. The only issue I have is that he's an Italian. I don't like dispensing to them, but we're an equal opportunity D-bag of the day givers.
Yeah. So, well, I think it's interesting because you mentioned earlier that, you know, he may not have said that if they won the national championship. So I think it's an easy out towards accomplishing goals for Kentucky.
Well, but if he see, that's the thing though. If he said it, if they'd won, then he's diminishing the win.
Yeah.
So it, but this way it makes it sound like it's, well, it's no big deal.
We still won this year. We had seven guys go in the first round.
So many people expected him to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is just his way of saying like, nah. Well, we weren't even trying to win.
Yeah, we just
imagine what will happen
NBA.
When we try.
I'll tell you what. I'd love to hear what Coach K has to say, if he would. I can't imagine he'd say something similar to that, having won that and other national championships. And then we have a few candidates that, well, this one is just that Antonio Smith, Denver Bronco defensive end, former Pro Bowler, being investigated for alleged child abuse in Texas. So that, I mean, that's obviously, we've, in Minnesota, people have been through that before with Adrian Peterson and the child abuse division down in Fort Bend County. Their district attorney, they're handling the case against Smith. No charges filed, but he's being investigated for that. So, I mean, when it involves children, obviously it's horrible. The fact that people don't understand that there's a. I mean, I understand where people spanking a kid if you're not doing it savagely. I mean, the swat on the butt is one thing. This is not. It wouldn't get to this level that he's being investigated if that's all it was. And the other guy, Aaron Hernandez, I didn't shoot the murder witness in the face to intimidate him. Not that I didn't shoot the murder victim in the face. I didn't shoot him. Murder witness, excuse me. I didn't shoot him to intimidate him. Boy, this guy's something. The other day was the big news the other day that he was a lookout for a fight. It was supposed to be the one that says, knock it off, fellas. Here they come. Here come the screws. So we're going to take a quick break. Jack Jablonski with us. Helmsy, Hellboy. When we return, we'll be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment brought to you by Premier Pool and Spa. I'll be right back with Jim. Jack Jablonski with us, Helmsy. We're joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, are you among the media members heading over to the new CHS field tonight?
I'm heading there right now. I also have a musical suggestion.
Yes.
Let's get rid of the CCR, which makes it sound like I'm even older than I actually am. And let's promote a local band, even though they're not always playing together these days. We play some Jayhawks when I come off.
Did you catch that, Helmsy?
Some what?
Jayhawks?
Jayhawks.
The man made a request. Now let's live up to it tomorrow. Come through. He's taking a note here. He'll get it. He's a bright young fella.
And this has nothing to do with Andrew Wiggins. We're talking about the Minneapolis band.
You got that?
I was going to get a song sung by Paul Pierce.
I thought so.
Piece of work. Anyway, you'll have certainly the Luminaries will be there if you want to try to catch up with Bill Murray. I know he's there, and obviously Vec is there. And when you go to something like this, whenever I've gone to a Saints game, nobody cares about the outcome. It's the atmosphere that people want to, you know, get caught up in.
And, And that's, you know, I've heard through the grapevine, Beck has never been very happy with the news. I've never really covered them. I've written an occasional story. I covered George Samus when he was a rookie with the Twins. He had a cup of coffee in the big leagues. He actually was one of my favorite Twins of all time, even in a brief amount of time. In fact, I need to try tonight to get him to tell the story about the time he and I, when the Twins were in Toronto playing the Blue Jays. And this is like this is pre-post the glory days of the Blue Jays when they won World Series. Where we coerced a certain Toronto Blue Jays employee to get Samus and me into Pat Gillick's palatial GM office in Sky, whatever they're calling these days, Sky Dome, and we drank like half of his booze at about 4 a.m.
Well, you and Samus are pretty tight.
Well, we were back then. I mean, we just hit it off. I was a young writer. He was a young player. You know, he was very irreverent. He was always ripping on Kelly and Sutch and everybody. So we had a lot in common. And, you know, one night I'm out drinking in Toronto. He's out drinking in Toronto after a day game or something. We end up, like I said, we end up drinking Pat Gillick's booze, which is one of my favorite baseball stories of all time.
That is a very neat story. Now, have you met, I don't think he's there yet because I think he's still teaching, but Ole Sheldon, who's their hitting coach, have you ever met him?
I have not.
If you're ever looking for a same story, he's a great storyteller and a great guy, and he's just he can explain things about baseball in plainer language than any coach or manager I've ever met. So
is his middle name Sven?
No, he goes by Ole.
Yeah, that's pretty good marketing right there.
Yeah, so it seems to work for him. We had, you know, and I gave Tom Whaley not a lot of crap, but about it. But they named their pig Pablo Pig Osso. They could have done so much more, but they want the art connection.
They're probably out of nicknames by now, aren't they?
Well, there aren't that many, I guess, that are left that are good that you can use for pigs. So they may be hitting running toward the bottom of that.
And I'm guessing they've used Kevin Bacon somewhere along the line.
Oh yeah, that's been in there. And Barack Obama, I think it's been. They've used that one. Wouldn't they have? They had a Hillary Clinton one too. I don't remember what that one was. It was something. I think it was something related to that. You know, a little while.
What they should do is put the pig on a leash and call it pulled pork.
I like that.
How about Mark Cuban pulled pork?
That's pretty good.
Oh. Look at you, Helmsy.
Pretty good.
He hates Helmsy. Hey, by the way, I think I told Jack Jablonski is with us, too. I don't know if you two have been on the air yet together, because usually you're on Tuesdays, and then when you're on a Tuesday, then Jack would talk to us from Southern California.
Right, and usually people avoid me, so it wouldn't be surprising if Jack has not been on air with me.
Not the case at all. Hey, you know, we had, I talked to Herbeck earlier because, you know, he did the Letterman thing ending. He did he was on Letterman back in 87. I didn't realize till we started talking. Today's his birthday. He's, Ken Herbeck at 55, it just doesn't, well, you remember obviously too, you weren't covering then, but in 87 and 91, the time does just fly. I mean, I know we feel it personally, but the Ken Herbeck at 55, it just doesn't seem like he'd be that old or it's that long ago, even though it's almost 30 years since they won their first World Series, 27 years.
What's great about Herbie is he's still in playing shape if, you know, we consider what his playing shape was.
Well, he's still, you know what though? He was putting the line in the water earlier today. He does have it figured out.
Oh, he nailed it, man. Be a great baseball player. Skipped college because he couldn't get in any colleges anyway. Go play minor league baseball. Hook up with TK and a bunch of great guys. Win two World Series in your hometown. Retire when your body starts creaking and just live the rest of your life fishing, playing golf, hunting. It's funny. Every once in a while, I usually end up bumping into him at spring training or talking to him over the winter. And, so often it's like, he's like, oh, you know, I just can't get to spring training. I'm like, what else are you doing? You can't get spring training in your schedule? You don't have a schedule, Ken.
Well, but you know what? He's got he goes all over hunting.
He does.
He's like Bud. He's a younger, and I even said to him, another 30, 40 years, you're going to have yourself a garage sale?
Oh, he will.
No, he swears he won't. Claims he won't.
It does remind me too, having covered Kirby Puckett and Herbeck toward the end of each of their careers.
Yeah.
I used to, you know, there's a lot of downtime in baseball. People are always just gabbing about whatever's to pass the time. And I remember people telling me, man, you know, Herbeck, it's going to be hard for him to stay, you know, below a certain weight once he stops playing. And nobody really ever said that about Puckett. And I always said, it's the opposite. Puckett works like a madman at baseball. He takes 1,000 extra swings a day. He sprints all over the place. He takes, you know, shags fly balls at full speed. I said, Puckett's the guy you got to watch because he gets a ton of exercise playing baseball, and as soon as it's over, he's not going to go to the gym. Even if you will have no interest in that. Where Herbeck didn't exercise when he played baseball, so now it's no different.
So he was prepping for life after baseball all along.
He was just, I still remember, you know, talking to Knobloch back before we hated Knobloch, and it was like after, I went over to the Dome in the middle of winter, and they just had all the guys who lived in or were visiting before Twins Fest come out and take some batting practice, kind of see where everybody was.
Yeah.
And Knobloch, who was, you know, turned into a great hitter, was just fouling balls off. And these are batting practice pictures. Fouling balls off in the middle of the winter. He just doesn't have a swing. Herbeck, you know, puts a cigarette out, walks up there, first one in the winter, hits one in the upper deck in right field. And Knobloch was just so frustrated by that. He's like, I worked my butt off all winter. Herbeck drinks 18 beers and just hits one in the upper deck.
Well, that's what he was. You know, have you asked Ken about this? Did he play a lot of softball after? Because he is the ultimate body build and power for a softball player.
I think he has a clause in his contract. He will play softball if someone will pinch run for him. And I mean run to first base for him.
And if he also has to have, he doesn't need a bench. He needs a keg to sit on.
Yes, and koozies are, you know, beer holders. And that beer holder might be a person who accompanies around the bases. I honestly thought, and this, let me call myself out here, the first time I ever saw T.C. Bear hitting home run after home run.
No, you didn't.
One of those, yes, I did. I thought, that's got to be perfect.
That he was in T.C. Bear.
He's got the great left-hand swing. He pounds the ball. And you can see Herbeck in a bear suit.
You know what, though? Have we ever seen them in the same room together?
Exactly. You know, that's a good question. I do know who T.C. Bear is, and he's actually just a really good hitter and a good athlete.
Okay, so it's not Herbeck.
I know they're not the same guy, but I wish I didn't know that. I wish I could maintain that illusion.
Well, maybe he's filled in at some point. We don't know for sure.
That is possible.
There's always that possibility. Now, Jim, what else are you going to be doing? You do more Viking? What do you have coming up after the Saints tonight? You'll be covering.
Saints tonight, I got a kind of a, I'm trying, looking for an intriguing Sunday column. I'm not just going to pull it off, so I won't promo it yet. I'm writing about a local character probably for Monday, unless the Twins like end up coming back home in first place or something, I'll switch to them. And I'm looking forward to a homestand where I get to write about a good, interesting, likable, relevant baseball team, and that's what we have now.
We haven't done that in 4 or 5 years.
No, I tell you what, I love baseball. I love Target Field, and these last 4 years, going over there knowing it's going to be a lousy product and not necessarily even a good clubhouse has been really painful. And to have a team I like covering that's good, that plays with some intelligence, that has some guys maturing very nicely. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to predict any great things for this team, but just relevance is a wonderful blessing in the middle of the summer for a sports writer.
And how about Mauer? He's on pace to match last year's home run total of 4 after last night's home run.
And you're not kidding. He is exactly on pace.
Yes, he is.
He hit 4 this year after hitting 1 last night. Of course, you know how it works in sports writing. A couple innings before he hit it, I sent out a tweet. Okay, what's the over-under on Mauer home runs? I said 5. And, of course, you know, Twitter being what it is, came back, you know, 0.5 ended up being the over-under most people settled on. And then, of course, he wins the game in extra innings. Although, congratulations to Mauer for finally hitting one out after about 80 games. But I thought that Graham won that game. That was really impressive for a Rule 5 guy to come in on the road and blow people away for 3 innings and give them a chance.
Now, it's a neat team to follow right now, and you know, who knows if it'll keep up. But 6 games above 500, and we're pushing the end of May. That's, I don't know anyone who saw that coming.
And Buxton and Snow are starting to heat up. You know, and those guys, and frankly, the way Plouffe's playing, they don't need to rush Snow. But you put Buxton in the center field, the team's defense will improve by about 20% in one swoop. And if you'd be the fastest guy you've ever seen in wearing a Twins uniform, and, you know, even if he hits, then he could really change fortunes. But even if he doesn't hit much to start, even if he struggles like a lot of young guys do, the speed and the fielding will probably shock you.
Just get some more walks than Danny Santana, he'll be fine.
I like Santana, but that is one thing he needs to work on, yes. Yep.
Well, Jim, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And what are you going to have for him tomorrow there, Helmsy?
Paul Pierce music.
Paul Pierce music.
Yeah, or Andrew Wiggins, or You know, how about Bill Self whining? I think that'd make a good soundtrack.
Drew Gooden.
Drew Gooden, there you go. Drew Gooden, by the way, he's like the same age as Herbeck, right?
Is he?
It seems like it's been the NBA.
Well, it might seem like it's been forever, yeah. Actually, now I'm going to have to look up here during the break how old he actually is. All right, thanks a lot, Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Jim Suen from the Star Tribune. And, Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Drew Gooden, 33, just seemed like he was been around forever. We're going to take a quick break. Jack Jablonski with us. Helmsy. Hellboy. We're going to be joined by Rick Harrow, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights. Tonight, Bloomberg Sportfolio. Catch that at 8:30. Coming right back. Again. We are back. Jack Jablonski with us, David Helmer, our producer, and we are joined by Rick Harrow, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg Sportsfolio tonight at 8:30, HorrowSports.com, HORROW, Sports.com. Rick, it's always great to talk to you.
In New York today, it's doesn't feel like spring, but it's getting there. It beats, 10 inches of snow,
yes,
certainly.
No question about that. Now, I thought maybe you would be at the NFL owners meeting. Is that just that's something that you thought about going to? It's not something you generally attend?
I go to them a lot, but not going to be in San Francisco for rough life for the Warriors playoffs, which should be in the finals 3 weeks from now, and then Chambers Bay, the U.S. Open golf tournament in Seattle. That'll be an interesting time. So just enough.
Oh, so you okay? That'll be part of your West Coast trip. Now,
that's it, right?
Will you go to the Indy 500?
Yes, I'm going to go to the Indy 500 in just a little bit of time. It'll be really, really good.
How the Indianapolis 500, obviously because of the history of it, but are there any type of races like that? I mean, I'm not talking NASCAR, but the Indy style cars. It's only the Indy 500 nowadays, and does it still make the kind of money that it had, or is it dropped off at all in terms of interest, or is it just that it's so popular because of how popular it's been in past years? Did we lose Rick?
Doesn't look like it.
Maybe my question was so bad. Rick, are you there? Maybe we should try calling about. He might have been so offended by my question, he didn't want to answer it. So we'll try to get Rick back on. We've had a few phone issues this week, Jack. That's why I'm glad you came in, because you'd been dropping off on us.
I'm here for the dead air, right?
you're here to fill in the dead air. That's what. Now, do either one of you watch the Indy 500?
Yeah, I can't say I do. I pay attention to it, but it just isn't appealing. I don't care about 30 cars going 200 miles an hour in a circle.
Yeah, I drive my car enough to the point where I don't need to watch other cars drive around for my enjoyment.
Like my theory is, I think one race a year they should be forced to go right. I think that would be hilarious.
Because you're right, they're always going left.
They're always going left. How cool would it be if you made one race and everyone had to go right?
Some loop-to-loops.
I'll tell you what.
Exactly. Like the hot
really
wheels
fun.
Or something.
It'd be dangerous, but how cool would it be if just one car went right? The lead car.
The lead.
That would make for an interesting scenario. I don't know what happened with Rick there. We may not be getting him back. I think that Sam's trying to get him. But you know what? We got plenty to talk about. Now Jack, I know you'll watch the game tonight. Mm-hmm. Right,
yes.
Anaheim at Chicago, which Chicago, that's a good one, certainly a good place for them to be.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I think is the momentum. In the playoffs, you really got to go with the momentum if you have it and try to prevent it as much as possible. For a game that went three overtimes and into the late hours of the West Coast and even worse for the East Coast, the travel is going to be tough on one day rest, going halfway across the country. But both teams are doing it. At the same time, it's going to be interesting to see how the depth of Chicago, how their defense is going to respond. Keith playing over half the game in a three overtime game, to see if the physicality of Anaheim can really take advantage of that is going to be interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, thank you again to Ricardo. We just had a phone issue. Host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg Sportfolio, tonight, 8:30, HorrorSports.com if you want to check it out. If Anaheim represents the Western Conference, my God, that travel schedule, whether it's the Rangers or Tampa Bay, you're talking three time zones.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get much far. I mean, both of them are about equal in distance mm-hmm. to Southern California.
Yeah.
You can't really get much farther than one of those two teams.
You really can't.
Boston, maybe.
Boston, Buffalo, you know,
Boston,
something like
Vancouver
that.
One. That was a fun.
Yeah. And once again, you know, both teams are making the trip. You know, whether it plays to an advantage for the team that has the home ice advantage, you know, you don't have to travel across the country, you know, one less time than the other team. But, you know, these guys have been doing it all year. You know, they've been traveling across the country for road trips, then back home and one night stands, you know, for one game on the road and then coming back home. So, you know, they're used to it, but the biggest thing is to see if, you know, whoever ends up in the Stanley Cup playoffs, if it is Anaheim, then that first period of game one and two, you know, very crucial because, you know, for the team that does have to travel across the country, it is going to be an advantage for that home team.
The Jack, I wanted to mention because we're, I mean, we have a few minutes left, but, you know, we talked briefly to Ricard while he was with us. I asked about the Indy 500. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, you can listen to the Indianapolis 500 right here on Sports Radio 105, the ticket, and the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte Motor Speedway. That will follow right around 4. So if you like your car racing, your vroom vroom, we are the place to be at 105 The Ticket on Sunday. Jack, I'm very happy. I'm glad you were able to come in and join us. I've been looking forward to having you start coming into the studio again, and you're going to be here through August, so yep. You're welcome to come back anytime. We'll set something up, and you know, when you want to come and visit, you're welcome to. Helmsy, Jayhawks, and ask Jack what music you want next time we talk to you.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Tell him Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli, please.
I don't believe him.
Right out of his mouth. Yeah. All right. Stick around here. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be going live from CHS Field right outside, right out front. Go say hello to them. Visit with them before the Saints opener. We are going to take up ourselves about a 22-hour break and come back and join you tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Disappear into the putter's ground. When the man comes around.